Very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in Dhamma. So now is morning chanting, followed by reflection, 8:30. To the blessed one, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, to the blessed one's disciple who had practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render our offerings, our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still have compassion for later generation. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefits and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The blessed one's disciple, who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha. Oh, this one we finish. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha. The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is the teacher of gods and men. He is awakened and holy in this world with his gods, demon, and kind spirit, his seeker and sages, celestial and human beings. He has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and convention. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inward to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise each for themselves. I chant this praise to his teaching. I bow my head to this truth. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha. They are the blessed one's disciple who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed one's disciple. Such ones are worthy of gift, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to this Sangha. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement. The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear insight of wisdom, destroyer of the world's self-corruption, devoted indeed the Buddha I revered, the Buddha teaching of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruit, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world, devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revered, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all-knowing, abundant, devoted indeed, that Sangha I revealed, the salutation should be made to that which is worthy. Through the power of such action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is the Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known. Having heard the teaching, we know this. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness and disease is suffering, and death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, despair are suffering. Association with the dislike is suffering. Separation from one's loved one and our prized possession is suffering. Gaining one's wish is suffering. In grief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows. Identification with the body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formation, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime, he instructed his disciple in just this way. He further instructs, the body is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent, mental formation are impermanent, consciousness are impermanent, the body is non-self, feeling is non-self, perception is non-self, mental formation are non-self, consciousness is non-self, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. There is no self in the conditioned and the unconditioned of us. Therefore, aging, sickness, and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, bounded by suffering and obstructed by suffering, let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One who long ago attained Parinibbana is our refuge. The Dhamma and the Sangha, attentively we follow the pathway of the Blessed One with all of our mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering. Okay, we will do the closing homage. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svākato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. We have finished the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. The next one is Anattalakkhana Sutta. You turn to page 40, 41. 43, sorry, yeah. 43. So this course on Anattalakkhana Sutta is the second sutta proclaimed by the Buddha after his enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree. Yeah. So we will read the English version. All beings should take pain to understand the characteristics of anatta, non-self, which provides measureless deliverance from sakyatiti or self-belief or self-perception. As taught by the Supreme Buddha, this teaching is given so that those who meditate on experienceable reality may arrive at perfect comprehension. It is for the development of perfect understanding of this phenomenon and for the investigation of all defiled mind moments. The consequence of this practice is total deliverance. So desirous of bringing this teaching forth with its great benefit, let us now recite this sutta. Thus have I heard at one time the Blessed One was dwelling near Benares at Isipatana in the Deer Park. There he addressed a group of five ascetics or bhikkhu. Form bhikkhu is non-self. If bhikkhu form were self, then form would not lead to affliction or suffering. And one might be able to say in regards to form, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. But since bhikkhu form is non-self, form therefore leads to affliction and is not possible to say in regards to form, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. So this statement is very powerful because the Buddha just let all these five ascetic or bhikkhu know that this form is made out of only element, go the way of nature. That's why it's not a permanent and changing entity. And you cannot say, yeah, this form is me. Means form is not a permanent and changing entity that you can cling on to, grasp onto, and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Why? Because the Buddha said, its form is self. Well, during the time of the Buddha, the belief in having a permanent and changing entity is, if it's me, then I can decide. Let this form be thus. Or let this form don't get old, don't get sick, and die. Because it is you, understand? You can decide. But because form goes the way of nature, it grow old, get sick, and finally die. It never asks permission from you. Because this is nature's process. So through this, the Buddha asked them, if it is self, then it will not lead to affliction or suffering. Can you follow? Yeah. So because of that, the monk starts to understand. If it's self, then it will not lead to affliction. Then I can say, let my form be thus. just like we have gone through. If you want your body to be forever young, don't get old, don't get sick and die, it's impossible. We are everything, follow nature's law. There is this nature's reality of change, decay, aging, and finally death. The four-phase cycle or the four-phase movement. So all this can be clearly seen. That's why after that, the Buddha go into the other aggregate. He said, feeling is non-self. If bhikkhu, feeling was self, feeling would not lead to suffering or affliction. And one might be able to say in regards to feeling, let my feeling be thus. Let my feeling not be thus. But since bhikkhu, feeling is non-self, feeling therefore leads to affliction, suffering. And one is not able to say in regards to feeling, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling not be thus. Then he repeat for the aggregate of sanya, perception. Then he repeat for the aggregate of mental formation or sankhara. Then finally, he repeat for consciousness. That's why he said, consciousness is non-self. If bhikkhu, consciousness was self, consciousness would not lead to affliction. And one might be able to say in regards to consciousness, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. But since bhikkhu, consciousness is non-self, consciousness therefore leads to affliction. And one is able to say in regards to consciousness, one is not able to say in regards to consciousness, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. Yeah. Then the next one is very important. The next paragraph, the Buddha asks, what do you think, bhikkhu, is form permanent or impermanent? Yeah. Your physical body, is it permanent or impermanent? You can witness it going old, getting sick and die, isn't it? That's why it's impermanent, it goes the way of nature. So the monk replied, impermanent, Lord. Then the Buddha said, but that which is impermanent, painful, and pleasurable, or pleasurable. But is that which is impermanent, painful, or pleasurable? So this is obvious, isn't it? If it's impermanent, it will change, isn't it? Even at the moment you're very happy, yeah, very joyful, but condition is going to change. And sooner or later, it will arise a condition to make you unhappy, miserable. That's why if there is such thing as impermanent, if form is impermanent, then it will lead to pain. So because of that, the Buddha asked the monk, but is that which is impermanent, painful, or pleasurable? Then they replied, painful, Lord, because it's of the characteristic to change. Then is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, of a nature to change? As this is mine, I am this, this all can be mine. It is not, Lord. That's why these people, the monk, they know. Then he repeat for all the other aggregate. Is feeling permanent or impermanent? They reply, impermanent. But is that which is impermanent, painful or pleasurable? So they know if it's impermanent, it will be painful, Lord. Then he said, is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, and of the nature to change, as this is mine, I am this, this is myself. It is not, Lord. So all this they repeat for perception, sankhara, and consciousness. Then after that, he told the bhikkhu. Therefore, bhikkhu, whatever form there is, whether it's past, future, or present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, whether it's far or near, all forms should, by means of right wisdom or insight, be seen as it really is. Thus, this is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. Means this is non-self or not self. Yeah. Then he repeat for feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. Then this second last paragraph is the most important. Seeing in this way, bhikkhu, the wise noble disciple become disenchanted with form, become disenchanted with feeling, become disenchanted with perception, become disenchanted with mental formation, become disenchanted with consciousness, becoming disenchanted, their passion fade away, means their craving, their desire. With the fading of passion, the heart is liberated, means craving gone. With liberation, there comes knowledge or insight, wisdom. It is liberated. And they know, destroy is birth, the holy life has been lived out. Done is what had to be done. There is no more becoming or coming into any state of being. Thus speak the blessed one. Delighted, the group of five bhikkhu rejoice in what the Lord has said. Moreover, while the discourse was being delivered, the mind of all the five bhikkhus were free from defilement through clinging no more. So all these five bhikkhu become arahant. So like I said, the Buddha used the concept or idea of non-self. Then he said, it is self. Means I have control over it, isn't it? I can decide how I should live, isn't it? Let it be thus, or let it not be thus. But it's beyond your ability to control. And because you don't have control and power over it, that's why it's non-self, it's not you. Because all this has its respective nature's condition behind, especially the physical body. That's why the rupang, the physical body, external form, they are impermanent. They are non-self. Feeling is the same. Perception is the same. Activity of mind, sankhara, is the same. Consciousness is the same. Then basically, the five aggregates are impermanent. You grasp, you cling, you hold, you suffer. And because of that, you will come to understand it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it is anatta, non-self, empty. So the Buddha's way is at that time very suitable, very applicable, where he used the concept of non-self. So self, he proved it to you that it cannot be self. If it's self, you have control. Yeah? Let it be thus, let it not be thus. But you realize you can't, understand that? It is not you. It cannot be owned, cannot be possessed, cannot be clung onto and make believe that this is you. There is dependent originating, condition arising. Then he said, that which is non-self, is it a permanent unchanging entity? Then he said, it is impermanent. There is obvious there. Because it is non-self, that's why it is impermanent. Then after that, he said, all this fine idea of form and mind If it's impermanent, it leads to affliction. Is it right to say this is me? This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So indirectly, the monk understood. But a better way is through my own contemplation this life. When I meditate, I aware, I realize form is made up of element, no consciousness, no knowing. How can it be me? Then it definitely go the way of nature, because it's only element, no knowing, cannot be me. Then when it comes to the other four aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. When I was mindful, aware, I realized feeling come and go. I didn't die. Perception come and go. I didn't die. Activity of mind come and go. I didn't die. Then the moment of consciousness, this moment, that consciousness, next moment, another consciousness. Consciousness come and go. I didn't die. So very easily we can deduce that Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana cannot be you. But the question I always inquire is, if they are not me, then why did they arise in me? You understand that? Within this form of mind, you have the aggregate, feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. So when I reflected, contemplated, and inquired, I silenced my mind, I came to realize that these are all dependent originating phenomena. That's why they are arising and passing away within the five aggregate of form and mind, but they are not me. That's the reason why I always tell you all, inquire, find out. If they are not you, why did they arise in you? Then finally inquire, who are you? What are you? That's how I reflected, contemplated. Then I realized the five aggregate of form and mind is karmically conditional for me to come to this existential world. It's like a vehicle and a tool for me to exist, to experience life, to cultivate, to fulfill my work, to do whatever that my nature wants. Of course, for ordinary being who don't have the understanding of the Dhamma, is to come back, to pay back karmic debt, understand not? To go through the karmic process. So when this is understood, I penetrate the anatta straight away. Straight away. Then I realize, he no you, he no me. All these are like the physics experiment, naturally arising. Understand not? Dependent on something, it arises. So feeling, how did it arise? How did it arise? Dependent on what? We have the senses in the physical body there. We have the consciousness trapped inside here. Then we have the external sense data. When these three come together and make contact, contact means what? You pay attention there, like seeing consciousness. Your mind is at the seeing consciousness. You pay attention there. Then you make contact with this organ called the eye. Understand? Then there is this sense data, color, shape, and form. That's why upon contact, that seeing consciousness like the light bulb lights up. At that moment, it's pure consciousness. The Buddha said, like the direct seeing. No one to see yet. No Sakaya Ditti, no being behind the sea. It's just their consciousness. Then I saw, through memory, we were conditioned and we learned how to name and label that thing that we perceive through the seeing consciousness. And because of that, we perceive, and this conditioning, which is memory, create the discriminatory consciousness or mind. So all your views, opinion, conditioning went in like the content of consciousness. Then I realized, hey, there is nobody inside there. Nobody is responsible for seeing. It's all very natural. When the condition fall into place, it manifests. Like the physics experiment. You on the switch, you open your eye, the whole field of vision arise. That's why the Buddha said, consciousness is like a magician. We are the greatest magician. Everything that appear perceivable by our vision, they arise already. Understand? Like exist. And this is what the Buddha called an illusion. Understand? Not real. Because held by one. How do you come to know? Perceive. Through consciousness, image. How real can it be? Externally already dependent originating, condition arising, like the bulakat. Then how do you know? The form is the form. Through your mental image. This is even more unreal than the outside one. Outside already unreal because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. So when I saw this, I realized there is no reality in life. Where everything is mind-made. Consciousness, come and go, come and go. So when you understand all this through mindfulness, through awareness, when you see, then you see the unreality of form. You see the unreality of perception, unreality of feeling. But all these are dependent originating. They come and they go. They come and they go. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind is non-self, not you, not a permanent unchanging entity. Understand that. Then do not cling, do not hold. Yeah, it goes the way of nature, like the Buddha said. Everything is dependent originating. When there is condition, then it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases. When the supporting condition is still there, it sustains itself. Like my voice. If I continue to speak, it will sustain the vibration. Then you can hear me. But the moment I stop, what happened to that voice, that sound, that vibration, that hearing consciousness? No more in there. But there is no more condition. But I didn't create that condition through my thought, the vibration, everything. So when you start to see dependent origination, condition arising, conditionality, then you start to see truth, nature's truth. Everything is cause and effect, come and go. But the complicated thing about the human being is they have this brain, these views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, tradition, everything. This is the one that mess up the whole thing. Then it introduces this content, and this content has mental intention behind, understand? And when you have sakkariti, what happens? You believe this is you. Then naturally, that form of mind will become selfish, isn't it? Because if you think you exist, okay? I think the right on the board. If you think this human being, the fine aggregate of form of mind, if you think this one exists and real, what happens? You build up the ego. Then this ego build up the egoic mind. Then this one become the personality. Can follow? So this is what sakkariti is all about. When you believe this is you, human being. So this one is sakkariti, or self-delusion. The moment you believe that this is you, that we call it sakkariti, then you arise the ego. The ego create the egoic mind, which is a personality. Then what happened to you? You think you exist. You definitely create that delusion to own things, to possess things. Understand not? That's how your selfishness arises. Then when things don't go your way, you don't like, you get angry. you become unhappy. Then when you cannot understand, you develop fear with delusion. So the three evil root from here, the personality, it generated the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how karma come into being. So when there is greed, hatred, and delusion, there will be selfishness, emotional negativity, etc. Just give me a minute. I have to answer this call. Okay, we continue. That's why self-delusion or sakyability is a very dangerous delusion. This one is very dangerous. Because of this sakyability, self-delusion, the evil root arise, all of coming is affected. And because of that, the human being, through the senses, which is dependent originating, trigger of that respective sense or consciousness, at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, what happened? This ego, which is sakyadity, the egoic mind, introduced the mental intention, which is selfish, or full of hatred, envy, jealousy, emotional negativity, and full of delusion. It doesn't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. It doesn't understand the Four Noble Truths. It doesn't know that these are the realities of life and existence. Not only he or she subject to it, all living beings are subject to it. So if it's a common reality, then why you cling, why you grasp, why you become miserable over what happened? So this is what sakyadity can trigger off. The negativity of mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then Dhammapada verse 1, take its course, understand. Suffering will follow you. Like the hoof that follow the cart. So all this, you will come to understand that the teaching is there. But for people who without this teaching, since birth, society's way of educating you and bringing you up is to create the identity in you. Remember morning chanting? Identity with the physical body. You think you exist, they give you a name. Then after that, you grow up, they give you an identity card. Understand? Then later a passport. Then you go to school. They mark attendance. They call you by name. Then you interact with people also by name. Everything you register in the system, you are identified. Understand? That's why you believe you are what you are. Then based on your physical appearance, they say you Chinese, you Indian, you Malay, you whatever, or the Westerner. Then worse is the gender, male, female. That's why now you have so much problem. Gender discrimination, understand? Racial discrimination. All to what? Identify with the form, physical form. But when you identify physically, you create a lot of this unnecessary division. That's why Jay Krishnamurti said thought divine. But when you cling to this physical, believing it's you, you identify this, then you tend to divide them. Understand? Through what? First is through your race. Then through your religion, your belief system. Then through your gender. Then from your physical appearance, young, old, middle age, understand? Or youth. So all these are divisions. Then if you continue to be deluded by form, you cannot see the unreality of form, then you will grasp, you will cling. Then self-delusion lead to form delusion. Understand? Because form has power over you. You can become miserable over you. But if I have the direct seeing, I see beyond your physical form. What do I see? From form Dhamma, I penetrate and I see if I don't attach and cling to your physical, then there is no gender, there is no male, female, there is no Chinese, what, all this disappear. I don't look at the form. Then when I look beyond the form, what do I see? Every one of us still have a mind, understand now? Then through mind, we are still different. Why? But less ready. The form delusion, division, gone. But mind still have its division. Your belief system, understand now? Your views, your opinion, your ideology. All this can still divide. That's why two persons using the mundane mind to communicate, they can still argue. Understand? So if I can see beyond form, then I see the unreality of form, then I can be free from form delusion. Understand? Then after that, I saw mind. When I see the unreality of mind, I can see beyond mind, true or not. Then when I see beyond mind, beyond the five aggregate, who are you? What are you? Who am I? What am I? That's why I realize the true mind, understand? And the true mind got nothing. No word, no concept, no delusion. Nothing inside that. Like Hui Neng say, originally there was nothing. Where can the dasa? So no duality, nothing. That's why when you see beyond form, see beyond mind, you see truth, you see reality. Thing is just the way it is. Like the Buddha said, see things as they are. And that seeing is the direct seeing from the nature. And that one, no word, no concept, nothing. That one is seeing reality, truth. Then that one develop the insight to understand that all these are dependent originating entity. Dependent originating entity. He know you, he know me. Nobody inside there. No permanent unchanging entity like a soul that is responsible for all the seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. No. Everything is very natural. It just happened because of causes and conditions. So these causes and conditions of paticchasamuppada is very, very important. There's a right view with regards to the law of karma. Then right view with the law of mind. Law of mind explains the paticchasamuppada. Yeah. And law of mind explains all this conditionality, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then law of truth. This tree, when you penetrate, this tree spiritual law is the one that can give you insight, awaken your nature. Okay? Yeah.
Morning, everyone. I wanted to share as the explanation panned out. I looked at it as how it related to each individual. So to me personally, I saw the impact of the identification this way. So I define myself, Sui, as, so I have my name. Just now, all the division my dad mentioned. My name,
gender,
my nationality,
race,
my gender,
race,
race, or also religion. Then there's also status. There's a lot more that I define what it is to be Suyi myself. So if I lose my name by whatever reason, or people refuse to call me by my name and instead call me by my nickname, like how the Hunchback of Notre Dame became the Hunchback, nobody else calls him by his name. He loses his identity. He goes into existential crisis if he believes the name defines him. Nationality, if we lose our country, so many refugees everywhere. I mean, it's very real. It can happen to any one of us. We can lose our country. We can be ruled by another country. This is not permanent. So if we define ourselves by our name, by our passports, we are going to be in a very disappointed state when all these happen. Gender, if I get breast cancer and I lose my breast, what am I going to think about myself? Do I go into existential crisis? If I lose my hair, I don't look like a girl anymore, I look like a boy. Am I supposed to be sad? If I believe this is how I define myself, I am going to be sorely disappointed. My race. Now we can see how this brings a lot of problem, but there are a lot of people that look like a certain race, but their parents are actually mixed, or they were actually adopted. They're brought up by a family of a different race, but we see them differently. And how do they feel if we are in their shoes? So if we define ourselves by that race, and we happen to be brought up by a different race family, when people treat us that way, we are going to be very sorely disappointed because we define ourselves with that race, whereas we identify that we belong to that race. And then people don't get. Sometimes I go overseas, people say, Ni hao ma? And then okay, I'm Malaysian Chinese, I'm not Chinese. You know, that kind of behavior is that is suffering. That is dukkha, but we don't recognize it. We brush it aside, sit in the carpet. No, I didn't suffer. But all that is how we solidify this definition of ourselves. We create this ego. This is how we do this personality creation. Religion, by whatever name our beliefs are, we feel attacked when we believe that label of I'm a Buddhist. If we believe that label very strongly, whenever a Buddhist is being attacked or a Buddhist ideology is being attacked, we feel that we are personally attacked. But all these associations are actually condition of this world. We happen to belong into this category for now. It can all change. If conditions are not there, it can change. Like the country, the name. Status, I'm a daughter. I was an employee. My status keep changing. But if I believe that any of that define me when I lose my job, if I believe me, I was an employee, I was earning money. If I lose that capability, and then am I going to be very disappointed with myself thinking I no longer have any value to society? But that happens to everybody when they retire. So this whole definition is a scam. This is what they say, fire is burning in a fire sermon. All that we believe that we are is a scam.
That's why it's sakayadity, wrong view.
Our entire
when
world.
When you don't have the true understanding, you cling on to the physical identity. Then you labor through the identity. Then you create words to divide, like race, religion, everything. That's why thought divide, two one words. Then when you see that, you see the danger of division. Whatever that create division leads to conflict, argument, war. Do you realize? Between nation, they fight. Race, they fight. Everything, even male and female, they also want to argue and fight. Your behavior also they want to interfere. Then certain government want to control. This one cannot, that one cannot. Like certain type of concert also cannot. How you dress also cannot. So you look at the world, when you identify with the form, it becomes form Dhamma. But the important thing is, what is your state of mind? Are you from the mind aware what is going on? Even at the mind level, less division, but you still create a lot of funny things. No? Your views, your opinion, your belief system, your conditioning, your ideology, everything within the brain, you still identify. So identification with form, identification in mind. What are mind? The four aggregates. So the five aggregates, you keep on identifying, and that is the danger of sakayadity. So what Sui is trying to tell you, he is going into more detail of the form delusion, because all this has got no meaning. If you deludedly continue to let them manipulate based on form identification, then you get into more and more trouble. Understand? But when you see all this as a fact, means these are due to delusion. Without Sakkayaditi, all this division not there. Who are you? What are you? If I see beyond the form, I am not identified with this form. Which as a meditator, I can. I can see beyond all of you. Then I look at how you function as a human being. Means your mind inside at the moment. Then when I see beyond mind, each and every one of us has the same Buddha nature, the awareness nature. But because the deluded one cannot realize that, cannot see that, that's why they are trapped at form. They are trapped at mind. Identification with the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why the Buddha summarized. In short, it is due to your Sakkayaditi that condition you to grasp and cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. Like Suvijasang said, when you deludedly believe all this identity, you suffer. Understand? Where you also go through the process of change. Then when you cannot fit into one of these, people discriminate against you, you know, like the hunchback or not. They call you by all those funny names. Or now you Leng Loi, understand? As you age, you see all the actor, actresses photo. Now with the video, the social media, all the young age until they become at their prime, very pretty, very handsome. Then when they age, you look at them, same guy. Understand? Because that is what aging is all about. Then when they age, you look so different now. When they were actor, doing up all the film and all those things. Then we watched the film show, I remember. Oh, all the famous actor, they were so popular. Everybody crazy about them. But when you look at their photo when they are older, oh, this is so and so. Ayo. So different. This is what they call, the Buddha call, form identification, Sakkayaditi, delusion. The egoic mind is the one behind. When you have ego, all these things become like real. Then you give in, you identify. Understand? That's how you get yourself entangled, afflicted. You give meaning. Like Sui said, if they call you by certain thing, hunchback or whatever, then you felt it, you know, understand? Oh, if you identify yourself, then they say something bad about that name, like Yun Chan or Padma Sri, you feel hurt, one, no? But that is ego, understand? No? Then the thought will arise, no? Who the hell he is to judge me this way? Yeah? To say all this. So insensitive. Where did he come from? So all this is the thought keep on creating. So as you create, you exist, he exists, then all the opinion, views, conditioning, belief system all come in, create what? Conflict, misunderstanding, argument. There is no harmony. Why? Because there is no love. Understand? Not? No understanding, no contentment, no gratitude. Like when Sui understand how difficult all these things arise through the nature's law or dependence, she appreciates everything she see and buy, eat and own. Then she has more joy. She has love, compassion towards a lot of things that she starts to understand. Last time, take for granted one, understand? Then the egoic mind just react. Now you have the Dhamma, you understand, you become different. That's why virtue is the one that protects you, free you, and make you different. That's why you must have virtue. Virtue means love, compassion, kindness, generosity, respect, gratitude. All these are virtue. No evil, nothing. That will bring about harmony, bring about more peace. Then that will cut away with all the division and delusion. Because with love, you cannot develop the opposite mind state. What I mean is true love, the conditional love and the other type of love is different. The other type of love is worldly love. When there is something to benefit each other, attract each other, then I love you. then something happened to you, you lost your status, lost your wealth, I hate you. Or you have a affair outside, then they want to divorce. Then love becomes hate. That is not true love. True love got no opposite. It just understand that this nature within, if it has love, it will have no problem. Then everything can be dissolved. But when you don't have love, the evil will arise. You get angry, you get emotional, you get fearful, then you get unhappy. Or sometimes you get lustful. You desire, you crave. All these are the three evil roots. Understand?
There's one more part about the egoic mind that took me a while to break through also. When we look at, if we have things we look down upon, I'll just take a very drastic example, a criminal. But there are minor ones. It could be just people that are not tidy, or people that do not have discipline, or people. So there are people that we, by virtue of being egoic, we think we are good. We look down on another category, which we think are lazy or bad. Yeah. So the drastic example, a criminal. But when I look at it, right, because I think I'm good, and then I look at criminals as bad. And then what my egoic mind thing is, I will never be a criminal. How can they do such things to other people? But with the karmic conditioning that that person had, he was born normal like anybody else, a baby, and then he went through upbringing. If we had the karmic conditions to go through the upbringing that criminal did and have our mind corrupted by society the way he or she did, I would easily just become the criminal because of karmic conditions. So there is no difference. These are all just temporary statuses. If the criminal went to jail, came out and started to do a lot of good things and save a lot of people, he's going to change to become a saint or whatever the society calls him. So how do you want to define people like this, treat people using all these labels? And then I start to see whoever I look down upon, that could be me, that I really feel it. I can be in his position. I no longer just think of it as a maybe like in the furthest 1%, no, 100%, I can be that as well. Yeah. Yeah, I can be that as well. I mean, not just this part, the falling. Whatever good I think I have done now, I can easily just wake up the next day, go crazy, kill somebody if I've been hit desperate enough with life's challenges. And if all the karmic conditioning throw me into the lowest emotional state, I can go crazy, I can take out a gun and shoot people. Me. The me, the Suyi you see here. We are supported by good karmic conditions to be peaceful and calm. But if the karmic conditions throw us into a whirlwind, anyone can just be here. So that's why I see how the egoic might think, no lah, I will never be like that. How can they be like that? I never say this now. I can be that person any day when I open the newspaper. That could be me. Yeah. So I hope this helps.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anybody got any question regarding the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta? Yes, sir. Huh? The self delusion. The sutta on non-self. Anybody got any question? Huh? Or do you understand what the Buddha meant and how I, through my own understanding, I developed the understanding, which is very, very different from what the Buddha did. And I understand why the Buddha did that. During his time, by using that, it's easier to let them understand. Then you talk about self, a permanent self. Then he said, if it's self, means I have control. Understand? Means I can decide. Let me be thus, or let me not be thus. But I can't. Understand? Like, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. Forever young, forever youthful, forever beautiful. That is not the nature's law. Understand? That's why the Buddha used this, then easy. Then he said, If it's non-self, is it permanent or impermanent? Then you will know it. It's definitely impermanent. All these things come and go. You are still around. And they have their cause and effect, dependent originating. Then after that, the moment you say impermanent, painful, then he come out with the final understanding. Whatever that is impermanent leads to affliction. Is it right to say this is me? This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Means self. Then straight away you understand, you know, oh yeah, that concept is not real, not true. That's why the monk at that time, they can awaken and become arahant because they have been cultivating in the past. And as waiting for somebody to express this truth to them. That's why they awaken. But for me, I didn't see the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta at first. I cultivate on my own. I realize it through another way, like I explained to you just now. Yeah, I saw this form without consciousness. How can it be me? Straight away, finish. Then I realized this one, I witnessed my parents, my grandparents, everybody. From birth to death, they age, they get sick, they get into trouble, injury, everything. And this is a reality. So how can it be you? That's why, very simple. Then I look at the mind. When I meditate, I aware. Feeling. I realize feeling when I am in a good mind state because I can relax and aware, then I feel good. And that's enough. No unpleasant feeling. But in the early day, before I know how to relax and do this awareness-based type of meditation, I felt the pain. And that's enough. So when there is pain, means pleasant feeling has become unpleasant feeling. So if feeling is me, I will die, isn't it? True or not? But if that pleasant feeling is me, it changed to unpleasant, I must have died, isn't it? Did I die? Hey, I didn't die. Feeling come and go, evolve, I didn't die. Understand not? So how can feeling be me? Straight away. Understand not? That's why feeling is nonsense. Feeling is impermanent. Yeah, I saw the dependent originating, condition arising. How it trigger off those feelings, pleasant, unpleasant, from my memory, views open. Because that sensation which I don't like, I call it pain, understand that? Or itchiness and all. It's all through word, concept, I labor. If I don't labor, they are not there. Means I have to endure. Because the reality is, condition like that, takes away like that, understand that? You got two choices. React against it and become miserable. Label it and become mental hindrance. Understand? If you accept, means you find out why sloth and torpor, why pain. Sloth and torpor, as you know, is a mental hindrance because you must have either lack certain spiritual faculty, like your virya is not strong. That's why you feel sleepy, lethargic. Then pain is because you don't know how to relax. That flow of qi, the constriction there, created that tightness and all those things. Then that sensation developed into pain. Or sensation that you know something is not right. That is how the body tell you that you have to do something about it. That's why it arises through pain, through itchiness or throat or whatever. All this are the body's way of telling the form and mind or the human being that you need to seek help. Like when there is a cut, there's an injury. So all this, they will prompt you. Or there is a stomach ache, you eat something wrong, or gas, or what. Means the system not right already, you know? Like you drive your car. It's supposed to be smooth sailing, no problem. And suddenly, or something like the engines die off. So all these are indicators to tell you that the car is no longer normal. Like our body also say, So if you are sensitive aware, you will know what is going on. That's why I know my body very well. And you can tell me what you like, but I know it very well. So what you tell me, if it's something very likely possible, then I will look at it. Then I will try it out. Otherwise, forget about it. You can say what you like, yeah, and know my body. That's why sometimes my wife comes in, hey, you might apply this. I say, forget about it. I know what is happening. If I need, I will ask you for it. You understand? But of course, sometimes he does help. Yes, that type of Pamasuri give us on that ointment. Your son there, Germany. So that one, sometimes when you rub it, it's very useful, very helpful. That smell is so strong that it makes you better. Your breathing, everything become much better. Then like, I remember one time at one of our lunch, I think I ate too fast or what, the first dish. Then this thing inside, like it reacted, Then I know I need to rest. But luckily, Alicia was there. He gave me the oil. After I rub, I felt better. I felt better. Then after that, I go to the washroom. Then I think you all were worried. Sam followed me. And he asked me, you okay? I said, no problem. Okay. That's why after that, I can continue. So you have to know what is going on. Because this thing that I eat that give rise to this problem, I cannot 2-3 times. One time is the condominium, the one time here, somewhere but there. I think the fellow looked that time, or cooked that time. Not cooked. Then I like condominium now. No. Hey, wow, that thing went in a cow lard inside there. Oh, then I like want to warm it out, cannot come out. Want to warm it out, cannot come out. Oh, but I know how to rest. Then I can sense that I can feel. Then I know this is a condition. Maybe I have to pay back. So in this way, it's better than other way. And I said, so I endure and I go through it. Then I silent. Then on the car, I'm okay already. Well, on the car, I know how to rest. I went into the meditative state. Then before we reach the estate, I'm okay already. So a lot of things, if you are sensitive, you understand, you know what is going on within. Then when the doctors tell you what, you roughly can know whether what he's telling you is related to your condition or not, proper or not. So this is what awareness is all about. Okay? So just off the line, okay? Do some formal meditation. Then the last 15 minutes, you can do the bowing or whatever, walking, contemplation, all these are possible. Yeah? The main thing is to develop continuity of mindfulness. Relax, be natural, walk naturally, bow naturally. Don't try to force. When you force, you become rigid, then the thought is involved. Just do. Don't try to know. Just do. Do. Yeah. Then the formal meditation also says, lie down, relax, maintain awareness. You must be patient and no one. For new people or people who has not stabilized the awareness nature, it takes you quite a while to settle down. Yeah. So be patient. It will come on. It will happen. How it happens depends on the individual. Different people, different. Then when the condition is there, when your faith is strong enough, then you persevere, there will be a response. Then the result will be favorable and beautiful. Okay? Yeah.